Mini-episode 918 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 918 of the FDH Lounge. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris, here today with part 7 of our history of Guiding Light, America's longest running soap opera. In our estimation, there were 5 eras of the program in the final quarter century of the show that is the part remembered by most fans, and those are parts 2 through 6 of our series, following the preface, which is part 1. Part 7 is our list of the greatest characters of the modern era. For me personally, Guiding Light was a show that I grew to love, having been exposed to it by my mother. At least during its best times, it rose above the typical soap schlock that so often defines the genre, painting interesting and realistic stories about how characters related to one another. Thankfully, there's such a great amount of old episodes and of segments formatted into playlists on the internet, so this series is intended as our guide of what to expect as you navigate each era, and as food for thought for those who are fans. In terms of a ranking of the best characters, it's always a melding of the work of the actors and actresses and the material that they are given, and in almost every instance, it was the latter factor that kept some prime candidates off of the list. Alan Spaulding was an interesting man, one of the most complex characters in the history of the show, but hacky writing frequently turned him into a one-note, mustache-twirling villain, especially towards the end. Josh Lewis was a really compelling good guy character and one who could fight dirty, as he did with Roger Thorpe, without losing his moral compass, but the storyline of the affair with his sister-in-law Cassie in the 2000s was a horrible act of character assassination. Beth and Blake were two others who were done in by the writer's disregard for their character histories far too often. Reva Shane, the love of Josh's life, might have been the most interesting character of them all, but she was also by far the biggest magnet for storyline goofiness. Ben Warren was one of the most interesting short-term characters that Guiding Light ever had, but the smarmy manner that made him so entertaining when he was villainous did not make him relatable when he was trying to be earnest with Blake. Let's look at our list of the top 10 characters in the modern history of the show. Number 10, Frank Cooper. We've actually got a cop-out for number 10, a tie between two characters, but hey, we're making up the rules. Now, the next Guiding Light storyline built around Frank will be his first, and the show was canceled in 2009, so we're not holding our breaths. And yet, as we frequently saw, high-profile characters frequently took the brunt of bad creative work, so that wasn't necessarily a hindrance. Still, uncomplicated good guy characters aren't always easy to write in an interesting way, and you always rooted for Frank, so credit is due all the way around for how he was created and portrayed. In an odd kind of way, he sort of picked up the mantle as the moral center of the show from Maureen Bauer and held the role even longer than her, even if his contributions to the show were more subtle. Frank narrowly gets the nod for the top 10 over his father, one-time shifty guy turned moral center in his own right, Buzz Cooper. Also number 10, Ross Marler. Blake's past and present men in her lives occupy the number 10 spot collectively, which is fitting in a way. Frank and Ross were actually very much alike as very decent men who still managed to be interesting. However, Ross actually started out on the show as a real scumbag in 1979, gleefully saving Roger from a much-deserved rape conviction, a past that he worked very hard to live down. He was frequently a foil for Roger during that character's second run on the program, navigating some great storylines together. Strangely, while Blake's character was being ruined by the Ben Warren plot, Ross hit new heights as the angry husband who had been wronged for the last time. His removal from the show during the awful budget cuts of the mid to late 2000s marked a low point for the show in its last few years, and it's a shame the contractual obligations got in the way of Ross showing up as a miracle survivor at the end of Guiding Light, but the great work of almost 3 decades was a big accomplishment nonetheless. Number 9, Harley Cooper. Admittedly, she wasn't very popular with some parts of the fan base in the latter part of her run, as she wasn't terribly sympathetic during the end of her epic run with Gus, and certainly in the aftermath. and the notion of her running Spalding Enterprises strained credibility like few other aspects of the show ever. But she generally remained true to the origins of her character, the scrappy blue-collar gal from Fifth Street, gamely trying for a better life. Initially, it came in the form of a cash grab with Alan Michael Spalding that briefly grew into a real marriage, but in the aftermath of it, she learned real lessons about life priorities, and she remained, generally speaking, a well-meaning person deserving of a good life. Number 8, Ed Bauer. As one of the few characters through the last few decades with a strong link to the pre-modern era of Guiding Light, his rich backstory is critical to the understanding of his character. In the 1980s and 1990s, he bristled under the weight of being seen as a good man by all of Springfield. In truth, he was, and he knew it, he was his mother's son, but he certainly wasn't infallible in the way that people who only met him later on didn't know. He was a mean drunk before he dried out, and even afterward he had notorious lapses, such as when he cheated on Maureen so memorably with Claire and Lillian. Living under the burden of the image of St. Ed, the redeemed great man, made him such a compelling character, because the viewers simply knew him as a good man with a good heart, doing the best that he could. Number 7, Maureen Bauer. As heir to the legacy of Bauer matriarchs on this program, she was a valuable tentpole of the show, even if her own prominence in key storylines was kind of here and there over the course of her decade on Guiding Light. But she was a supremely effective moral center and foil for other characters seeking her insight. The shocking and heartbreaking death of her character in 1993, one of the most wrenching in television history, ripped the heart out of the show, and the often cartoonish direction of the program in the years that followed seems at least somewhat related to her absence from it. For many sports analysts, criteria for a Most Valuable Player award includes how much a team suffers if the player is injured for a period of time. By that criteria, Maureen deserves credit not merely for what she brought to the show, but how we might extrapolate her continued presence might have helped to redeem it. Number 6, Holly Lindsey. A character who made daytime history by being raped by her then-husband Roger in 1979, Holly had already been through many crazy times before that, but it was nothing compared to the next three decades of the aftermath. As Holly sorted through her love-hate relationship with Roger and several aborted relationships with good guys who seemed to define themselves by their differences with him, she portrayed an array of conflicting dynamics, amazing strength, self-pity, a tendency to drown her sorrows in alcohol, the psychotic urge to kidnap the children of Springfield to save them from their parents, and finally, the peace of self-acceptance. The very beautiful Maureen Garrett, with her great expressive face, did such a tremendous job of bringing out all of the facets of this fascinating and vulnerable character, and even when the writing went south for her in the post-Roger years, she always made the best of the material that she had. Number 5, Edmund Winslow. Spoiler alert. This is the only character to make the list that came onto the canvas later than 1987, thereby distinguishing him as the best character to come along in the last 22 years of Guiding Light. And considering that he came in through the cloud of crap surrounding the San Cristobal royalty storyline, that tells you how great he really was. In his earliest incarnation, he was a fairly one-dimensional mustache-twirling villain, but he got more interesting after Richard died and he mellowed out while falling for Cassie. His struggles to keep his dark side at bay, later abandoned altogether, were fascinating, and when he became a complete bad guy once again, the viewers had a full understanding of the pain that motivated him. He's also one of the wittiest characters in the show's history, leading to some great scenes with others capable of sparring with him, like Philip, Alexandria, and Olivia. Number 4, Alexandra Spalding. She wasn't always consistently written, but at her best, she was as good as it got. Fletcher Reed, her erstwhile lover in the 1990s, who she fittingly ended up with at the series' conclusion, summed it up best when he called her the Iron Butterfly. She was vulnerable because of the trauma of having her sons taken away from her when she was young, and because of the way that she was made a fool out of by Roger. She compensated for this by burying herself in work at Spalding and trying to micromanage the affairs of her family. Thus, even when she was at her most vicious, pursuing that endless grudge against Mindy for crapping on her marriage to Roger, the pain underneath her rage kept her relatable, even as viewers rooted for her rampages to stop. Number 3, Vanessa Chamberlain. In pro wrestling, they say that the most effective babyface characters are the ones that originated as heels, and so too is this the case with soap operas. When we were first introduced to Vanessa in the early 1980s, She was a shallow party girl, interested primarily in marrying well. Her backstory and subsequent close friendship with Marine fleshed her out as a character with a spine of steel and a moral framework to match. Still, she struggled openly with big decisions, such as how to work out a proper peace with her son Peter's biological mother, Maurice's niece Bridget, or how much to trust Billy when it came to backsliding with his alcoholism, or how to trust Matt with her declining health, or how to deal with her neurotic daughter Dinah. But these waverings, even with their less sympathetic moments, only made her more human. She was, in the end, a tour de force, the greatest female character in the show's history, even as she was primarily a supporting player in Guiding Light's biggest storylines. Number 2, Philip Spaulding. The one thing that nobody ever remembers about this character is the long, simmering dynamic that made everything else possible. He came onto the canvas as a child in 1977 and reemerged as a high school senior in 1983. Throughout that time, the secret of his true parentage was kept from him, which makes it one of the longest ticking time bombs in soap opera storyline history. The detonation, which viewers probably pondered for years, lived up to all expectations, setting in motion a battle that would take him into middle age between his good side, embodied by the Marlers who were his blood relations, and his wicked side, embodied by the Spauldings who surrounded him. Aside from his cartoon villain stint in 2004, these battles were always told well. And aside from his romance with Harley in the late 90s, when he seemed to be a pod person with no regard for his legendary history with Beth, aside from the daughter that they shared, his story with his once and future wife was always very compelling. Deservedly, the great Grant Alexander was nominated for multiple daytime Emmys in this role, and John Bolger even did a nice job filling in for him in the mid-80s. Philip's half-brother, Alan Michael, was written with some similarities, since he was half-Bauer, which aligned him with all of their virtues, as well as the Spaulding faults, but the balance in getting Alan Michael right was always too elusive for the writers, so one shouldn't take for granted the overall masterwork of Philip's story over the decades. Number 1, Roger Thorpe. Much credit is due to Michael Zaslow, one of the greatest performers in the history of the show, but he also benefited from a confluence of consistently great writing that few others ever saw. Unlike Alan Spaulding, the nuances of his villainous characters were always at the forefront. In the pro wrestling world, it is said that a great heel believes that he is actually the hero, and Roger always was the hero of his own story, and he always did just enough good things, such as saving Ed Bauer's life and swallowing his bile to attend the wedding of his beloved daughter Chrissy to his archenemy Ross, to let you see that side of him, even as his viciousness, so often born of his own persecution complex, was always on display. Classic psychology comes into play here as well, given that Roger had obvious daddy issues. The characters that provided the greatest affront to him, like Ed and Ross, were the ones whose disapproval reminded him of his father Adam, who had none of his dark impulses. If only every character was presented in as effective a three-dimensional style, but then again, there weren't nearly enough Roger Zaslows to do them justice. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.